by the National
Association. Now, when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening for all of you precious Blood River Radio family members out there. And also, any of you new people that might be tuning in, I'd like to welcome you to Blood River Radio. Yes, that's who you're listening to, Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We're proudly syndicated all over creation by Liberty News Radio with Sam Bushman and Jay and Lizzie and Jeremiah and all the crew that takes to keep Blood River Radio running. We have a great lineup today. I'm going to be taking a minor part. We have my little sister, Monica Schaefer, coming on the first hour. And, you know, I'll just give you a little teaser here. This February is we're a little bit late starting, but we're going to take off on Dresden. This is Dresden month, the true Holocaust. We're going to mention that. We may even try to mention that some in the second hour. Speaking of this, I might as well finish the outline. Second hour, we have Don Wassel coming on with Paul Fromm. They're going to cover CAS football and how it lines up with the clergy plan. The third hour will be, as usual, the one and only, the great, Gene Andrews. No one like that guy. I've never seen anyone like Gene Andrews. He's up close and personal with the BC and the Vietnam, like LBJ would say. He's just a hell of a guy. Anyway, people, you know, this is a Christian radio show, so the first thing we always do before we take one foot, we always say a prayer. Today, I think what we'll do is we usually have honored guests on that I hand the prayer off to when I trust them. Right now, today, I think I felt called to just, I'm going to read a scripture, one of my favorite ones out of the Psalms. And it's, I'm sure everybody's mama knows it. It's the 23rd Psalm. So if you will, kind of, you can bow your head and just tune in. So here we go, folks. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his namesake's. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Lord Almighty, I just wished I had the faith that King David had. You know, King David, a lot of people may know the story. He sinned. He did a mighty sin, a great sin. You can ask yourself, how could anyone sin more? He impregnated one of his most loyal soldiers. He impregnated her wife, his wife. He called him from battle to come to, so he could sleep with his wife. To cover his sin, thinking the child would belong to the father. Most of you people probably know that story. With a soldier, I can't remember his name, but he refused to sleep with his wife while his other comrades were biting and dying in battle. He said he would not do that. So, as a consequence, King David, he didn't lose his faith. And scripture says he did not lose his salvation, but he lost his joy. And I can fully identify with King David losing his joy. But even as low as King David fell, according to human standards, he still had some hellacious faith. He never lost his faith. And I only wished I could have the faith of King David. You know, and I'll finish this up in just a second. Reading the 23rd Psalm, I think that was David that created, that did that Psalm. He said he feared no evil. Well, anytime you can get to a point of faith where you fear no evil, you have arrived, my friend. I have had that. Now, this is personal. I know a lot of people I consider you a family out there. I was there at one time for about 2 years, and then people would say, I backslid. My faith kind of diminished. It never has gone all the way. But anyway, and I'm saying that, believe it or not, hopefully some of this can rub off on some of you people out there. If you can, faith can get you through. It can ease a lot of pain. It can ease a lot of fear. Fear can work on you and create a lot of stress. And with that, people, I'll shut my mouth. That's going to be the substitute for the prayer. I think I already went over the outline. So with that, we're going to bring on my sister, a person who I've loved dearly, admire her greatly. And I'm just so fortunate that she's on this program today. And I'm not trying to make you people think you should just bow down or anything, but I think you all know that you're fortunate to have someone like Sister Monica Schaefer to come out and join us here to this never-ending battle, which we just seem to be lose and lose and lose and lose. But hopefully, like the, even though Winston Churchill, little evil SOB, he once said, even when the British were losing battle after battle after battle, he said, we'll win the most important battle, the last battle. And I hope that's true for us. Well, anyway, Sister Monica Schaefer, the Braveheart, how are you doing, my little sister?
I'm doing very well, and I am honored to be on your broadcast with you, Eddie. So the accolades, just, you know, I get kind of embarrassed, so stop it already. I am honored to be on this show, and thank you for your very sharing some personal thoughts that you have and about your faith. And I pray for you that you fully regain any lost faith that you may have let go of or something. I didn't realize that you felt that way. So I do hope that you get that back, and we will ultimately win, and certainly we will win that last battle, as you were just saying in your preamble. And those who are wishing to destroy everything and those who are working for Satan, they don't have souls, or if they do, they're going the wrong way. They try to steal our souls, and that is something that we must put our armor, the armor of God, on, like you have said this before, with the armor of God. They cannot steal our souls, because I think they really do work hard at stealing our souls, or, you know, letting demons. We cannot let demons in. And if we let down that armor of God, that's when the demons can come in. I don't usually talk this way, so I guess you inspired me a little bit to talk this way.
Well, I'm glad, and I'd like to add one further thing. Even though I say my faith has fallen, I never did fall. I've never done what everybody says Peter, St. Peter. The Apostle Paul was my hero, as long with King David. But I never have done what Peter did. Peter denied Christ 3 times before the cock crowed. Now, I never have sunk that low, so maybe I'm not as good as David, but I'm not as bad off as Peter once was at one time. But however, the St. Peter regained his faith. But I appreciate what you just said. Everything is spiritual and everything is racial.
Yes.
I can't truly say that I'm a hardcore identity like people say, but I do know that the white race is special and stands out amongst all other races, because
sorry about any, that.
Oh, that's no big deal. That's just not even a bump in the road.
Okay.
All anyone has to do is look around. If they will be truly intellectually honest, they can say that the white race is the only race in the world, on the planet, that's being persecuted, that's being driven to a total extermination. That we're the most hated race that's ever lived on this little ball called the Earth. That cannot be denied. So there is something. There's got to be something. Some of the Christian identity people, they have something. I do believe in Scripture. I'm a King James man. I know some people aren't. But I've gotten us so far away. I'm really enjoying this talk, though. But Sister Monica, I'm turning this over to you. I know you got enough. You have enough material for 3 hours. And
I'd just like to... Sorry, go ahead.
I'd like to say one more thing to our people. Sister Monica and a few people that are who's on with us now, she can just talk the talk because she is a former political prisoner. She spoke her mind. She stood up the truth, and she did 10 months in a German penitentiary for daring to doubt any one shred of the so-called Hola hoax, the Holocaust. So I do honor this lady. So we'll be right back, folks, after this brief message. We'll be right back in about 2 minutes, folks.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for helping out. We're having a few technical difficulties. Things may not work exactly like we've led them out, but you know what? We're going to make them work one way or the other. So with that, we're bringing Sister Monica Schaefer back on, an absolute icon of this program here. And we're all very fortunate to have her. And I'm going to shut up because I don't want to embarrass her any further. I see she's turning red as a tomato.
Exactly.
anyway, go ahead, Sister.
You're going to get into trouble, Eddie.
This is Braveheart. She's a badass, too. I'm telling you, she's that fiddle man. And I call her the crazy skater. She calls her something else. Anyway, go ahead, Sister Monica.
Okay.
Sister Braveheart. I just changed her name from Sister Braveheart to Sister, the badass Sister Braveheart. But anyway, go ahead, sir. And by the way, one last thing, I'll shut up. When you call somebody running like marathons, ultra marathons, when you call somebody a badass, that is the ultimate compliment.
And okay, that's good. That's really good, you know.
go ahead, Sister Mark. I better shut up before I get deeper.
Before you have to pull your foot out of your mouth or anything you know.
That's right. You got that right.
Okay, Eddie. Well, you had introduced the topic, which is very, very important. And I know you say in February, we can talk about it the whole month of February, and we're almost towards the end of February. But Dresden, so that was last week, the anniversary of what happened in Dresden. But I'd like to start this by reading a little clip out of an article by Mike King, MS King, because here's a little known, it's not trivial, but it's something that probably very few people know, and that is what happened in 1349, so centuries ago. So I'm going to read a little bit. Quote by Mike King. Contrary to the propaganda portrayals of Germans as stern and unfeeling supremacists, the Germanic peoples, and Nordics in general, have historically been known to be hospitable, friendly, cultured, and civil, almost to a fault. Even the moronic myth of German militarism quickly melts away when we consider that the various Prussian and German peoples, be they pre-Romanized pagan or converted Christian, were perpetually surrounded and attacked by aggressive conquerors like the Romans, Mongols, Moors, Huns, Turks, French, Poles, Russians, etc. German militarism was always about self-defense. Germans simply don't do genocide. There was an occasion, however, when the gentle Germans, all Roman Catholic Christians at the time, seemed to have collectively lost their minds in a murderous rage that compelled them to round up Jews, burn their homes and even their persons to death. Given their age-old reputation for hospitality, further enhanced by the dual Christian doctrines of love thy neighbor and turn the other cheek, a reasonable person with judgment unclouded by years of tear-jerking Jewish persecution propaganda has got to wonder, at least in private, what the bloody hell did the usual suspects do to make the Germans act this way? Just saying. Yes. Okay, the year was 1349. The Black Death plague was raging throughout Europe. Historical death estimates vary from 30 to 50% of the European population wiped out. However, much like the biblical story of Passover, in which the great plague of Egypt passed over the secretly marked homes of the Jews of Europe seemed to have been suspiciously spared. And in brackets, sort of like the London Fire of 1666 and sort of like 9/11, well, just saying, finish, end of bracket. In the minds of many conspiracy theorists, in quote, of the day, this strange Passover, the observable Jewish animosity toward the Goyim, and the confession under torture of a suspected Jew combined to point toward deliberate well poisoning. Okay, so that I'll finish quoting there from Mike King's article on his realnewsandhistory.com website. But that in 1349 happened to be, and it was the deadliest, and this, you know, this pogrom, it really was the deadliest of these pogroms that, you know, we hear about, these anti-Jewish pogroms. That occurred February 14th, 1349, in the German town of Strasbourg. And today that's part of France. It went down in history as the Strasbourg St. Valentine's Day Massacre. It is said that the entire Jewish community of 2,000 Jews were publicly burnt to death. Actually, I'm still reading from the article here. So, there you go. Was the 1945 bombing and, you know, firebombing of Dresden, was that date also relevant to, you know, their forever needing vengeance and revenge and whatnot, the Jews do? And like Mike pointed out, you know, this Black Plague was ripping through Europe. And like he also rightfully pointed out, Jewish communities were somehow magically spared. I don't know, maybe they just had this really nice immune system. But we don't call them the eternal well poisoners for nothing, Eddie.
It's been that way since the beginning of time, and it's that way even as we speak. Before we went on the air, I was looking at usfreedomnews.us, at the great online newspaper, and Don put out. It's put out by Don Wassel, a fellow who's going to be on the second hour of this program today. He's most of the people listen to Blood River Radio are familiar with Don Wassel, and I was reading some articles there that remind me of just what you said, just the narrative you just got to finish. You just finished with. It's been as far back as you can go. It's kind of like Dave Gaharri said. Now, I've borrowed a phrase that he's used often. It's always Jews all the time. I mean, in Adolf Hitler, our glorious, Adolf Hitler, a guy I think was probably the greatest white man ever lived, none greater. He often said, and I'll kind of paraphrase it, if you come upon a pile of rotting garbage, you know, probably with flies and maggots in it, if you pull that garbage back and look at the bottom, if you look deep enough, you'll always find a Jew. But he was speaking rhetorically of like a political corruption, sexual corruption, monetary corruption, any corruption you can possibly name. It started back, you just said, I used the 1349 for an example. Even today, I was looking at American Freedom News, and there's several articles there. One with that old senile bastard Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, who's refusing to let the act being voted upon, the Free Act, the Fair Act, whatever it was, they're trying to get a law, and I think we used to have a law, Monica, believe it or not, I'm going to bring this to a point, where you would have to show some type of identification before you could vote in a federal election in the United States. I mean, and
well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
it makes
but
sense,
they don't
it?
Want that. His no, Jew masters don't want that. Mitch, what's his name? Rubio, the little homosexual senator, was he from Texas? He's just went over to Israel to sign some legislation. Senator Lindsey Graham, that good conservative Republican, he just admitted he flies, Sister Monica, he flies. This is a United States senator from South Carolina. He said he makes at least two trips a month to Israel to see what his masters Netanyahu and the other Jews want him to do. And you can bet your sweet butt, it's what if they want to be done, it's never going to benefit the United States of America. They're always trying to harm the United States of America. They're the ones that are behind tearing the borders down. They're behind the COVID vaccination. They're behind the LGBT, all this satanic transgenderism. They're behind all that filth. Just once again, Dave Gaharri said, it's always Jews all the time. It's been from as far back, all the way back to the Old Testament, man, as far back as you can go back in the Bible to the current day. They're just evil there. And I'll shut this up. One more thing. It's always, and we've said this 1,000 times at least, St. John 8:44, Jesus Christ. And I tell my Southern Baptist friends, I got to bring this to a point. My Southern Baptist friends, we have this religion called Christianity. It was named after this great man called Jesus Christ. Hence, Christianity. I asked him, do you get that connection? Well, look and see what Jesus Christ, the head of our religion, said about Jews. And all you need to look no further than St. John 8:44. When he looked at the Jews in their eyes, and he told them they were of their father, the devil. And I tell these Southern Baptist friends of mine, the one that kicked me out of Bellevue Baptist Church for trying to preach this, that if you want to see, you know, Jesus Christ said them about that, about the Jews. Why can't you accept that? Stop worshiping Jews. Stop worshiping Israel. Yes, and they are the eternal poisoners of the well, Sister Monica.
On that note, Eddie, about eternal well poisoners, they do admit that their communities had a very strange, you know, high survival rate during the Black Death. They admit to that being true. But you know what they say? This is such an irony. They say it's due to ritual hand washing. Now, we all know that the Jews, at least in former times or when they're living in their ghettos or whatever, they don't like to bathe and they don't like to wash. So this is really kind of comical that they say it's due to hand washing so they didn't die. But I have, after the break, let's talk about the numbers in Dresden and how they have been downgraded by the mainstream.
Yes, and I would like to chime in on that. I know about the odor of Jews personally from when I was working at St. Francis Hospital. Be right back, folks.
liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. It's too early to know whether President Trump will resort to military force over Iran's nuclear program. Senator Tom Cotton says the president's stance on Iran has remained consistent.
We cannot tolerate a nuclear Iran. For that matter, we can't tolerate a nuclear Iran that is armed with thousands of ballistic missiles that can target not just our troops in the region, but also our friends in the region and much of the civilized world. And finally, we can't tolerate fanatical, revolutionary, theocratic regime that supports terrorists like Hamas and Hezbollah and others that have the blood of thousands of Americans on their hands.
In the wake of the Supreme Court's ruling on tariffs, economist Steve Moore believes President Trump will find a workaround.
He sounded pretty confident that he will find a way to make these tariffs legal so that they can he can go forth.
Moore made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. President Trump's approval rating hits 50% in a new poll. Correspondent Bill Alexander reports.
An Insider Advantage national survey of 800 likely voters conducted February 17th through 18th utilizing mixed mode text panel shows Donald Trump's approval rating basically mirroring or slightly above the national popular vote results in the election of November 2024.
GOP strategist Aaron McGuire advises caution as files related to convicted child sex offender Jeffrey Epstein are being released.
Just because a name is in the Epstein files does not equate to guilt. And there are a lot of people who are jumping all the way to the assumption that if your name is in the Epstein files, you yourself have done something wrong.
But McGuire tells the Salem Radio Network that if someone is found to have broken the law, they should be fully prosecuted. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In his new movie, The Dragon's Prophecy, Dinesh D'Souza brings the new Middle East into focus with a message of perseverance, faith, and a shared global destiny.
Could the fate of the world, of humanity itself, be somehow tied to this place?
At long last, we have peace in the Middle East.
Israel and Christians are coming together in a way they have never been before, since the Book of Acts.
But is this the end of Hamas and radical Islam? What does the Bible say?
We have to become fighters in the spirit for God. We don't accept what the enemy wants to do with our culture. We don't accept what he wants to do with the nation. If we keep fighting, we win.
Powerful, prophetic, a must-see movie based on Jonathan Cahn's international bestseller, The Dragon's Prophecy, combines history and scripture with faith, justice, and renewal. The Dragon's Prophecy, a new film by Dinesh D'Souza, now available on Amazon, YouTube, and iTunes.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys of the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep, and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I want to thank you so much for hanging out. Now, the bottom of the hour breaks a little bit longer, but I kind of like them. It gives you time to go get some coffee and stuff like that. But anyway, we're going to go right back to Sister Monica. I would just like to add one more thing before we leave the Black Plague. This Sister Monica impressed me on this. You've got to watch out what you learn in history. For instance, I learned that the Black Plague was caused from the flea bites. Fleas biting rats, rats carrying the virion of the Black Plague. When the fleas would bite the rats, they would in turn bite the humans, you know. But the moniker, the eternal poisoners of the whale, these Jews didn't get that for nothing. And I would just like to tell people, don't take our word for it. Get your Bible and read about what Jesus Christ said about the Jews. I read about what St. Paul said about the Jews. It's there. They're just evil people. And I'll say this one more time. When Jesus Christ tells someone that they are of their father, the devil, and they will do he was a murderer. He was a liar. He was the father of a lie, of all lies, told the first lie. When someone tells you you're of your father, the devil, that's not a good term. And I don't think we should be worshiping them. I don't think we should be bombing Iran to further Israel's quest to create a new Israel in the Middle East. I got to shut the hell up. Go ahead, Sister Monica. I hope I didn't take up too much of your time right
now.
No.
We're going to talk about Dresden, but I'll just to complete the thought, what you're talking about there. No, the Jews, they're actually really good, but not good for what we would normally think of good. They are good for Satan. They are following Satan's laws. They are God's chosen, but their God is Lucifer, Satan. So you could argue that they're actually doing what they're supposed to be doing because they are following their God, and that would be Lucifer, Satan. Okay, so that's another way of expressing it.
Yes, I like that way too.
Anyway, so you know what? On the question of Dresden, like we could go into great detail about what was done there, but probably most listeners to this program do know something about what was done on February 13th and then February 14th in the most beautiful city. It was called the Florence on the Elbe. That's the river that where Dresden is. It was just absolutely stunningly beautiful with museums and beautiful churches, and all the architecture was just like in a fairy tale book that you can hardly imagine. Every building had ornamented, you know, a structure to it. It wasn't just, you know, cinder block square gray buildings. Like, this was absolutely stunning city and no military targets. And it was destroyed by firebombs, you know, like incendiaries. And anyway, I'm not going to go further into that right now. What I would like to talk about is what the mainstream media has done with the official numbers of Germans, women, children, and refugees and whatnot that were killed in Dresden during that bombing raid. Now, even their official numbers in the beginning cannot be accurate, even when they used to say, you know, 200,000 or 300,000, I don't know exactly, but even, you know, their official numbers, they said that, but it would have been much higher because the city was absolutely full to the brim with refugees fleeing the Red Army. Okay, so it was towards the end of the war. The war was essentially already almost over. And so that's another, you know, thing about it, that there was absolutely no military justification for this bombing. And like I say, no military target. It was solely about killing as many Germans as possible. But the numbers could be up to 1 million. Some people say that even you know, when some of us, many of us actually who have looked into this say it's got to have been 500,000. But some people say, no, that's not even an high enough number, because nobody has a census on how many people were there, but the city was literally stuffed to the hilt with refugees. So you can't have a census on that, because these people have just streamed into the city. All right. Then over the years, what have the official, the government sources or whatever, what have they said about the numbers? They have downgraded them and downgraded them to now it's something like, oh, 20,000. 20,000, when really it could be, let's just be a little conservative here, 500,000, okay? 20,000, okay. And then not only that, Eddie, but after that first wave of bombing, and Alfred heard them say this with his own ears when one of the years, like when he's not in jail, he's going always every year to the memorial services that
Sister Monica, tell our people who Alfred is, please.
Alfred, my brother, who is currently in jail in prison in Germany. So he's been living in Germany since the mid-80s. Thank you, Eddie. That's important just to clarify. So Alfred, he is currently in prison just as a political prisoner, as a prisoner of war, really, because we are in a war, and he has spoken words that are forbidden, and so he sits in prison. But anyway, every year, our people do try to have a legitimate, you know, memorial service for those Germans who were annihilated and burnt. That was the real Holocaust, by the way.
Yes,
what
yes.
happened there. So anyway, one of those years after Alfred's, you know, group of people had their walk and memorial and commemoration, they decided to go over to the such and such a place where the official ceremony was taking place, like that the city was putting on or whatever. And they heard with their own ears these numbers. It was either 20 or 25,000 that that's how many Germans died, or that's how many people, civilians died. Or there was no soldiers there. It was just all civilians. And then they said after that first wave of bombing, the Nazis rounded up the rest of the Jews that they could find in the city to send them to their death in the concentration camps. Can you imagine that? The audacity to say that. So in other words, like, we really don't have to feel bad about those Germans, those 20,000 that were killed that night, because then they're so evil that then the only thing they could think of doing is rounding up the rest of the Jews and sending them off to their death. The other thing I want to tell you about one of those years that Alfred was there, they had the audacity, the officialdom, they put up these huge banners of pictures. Each banner had a picture of a Jew who died in the Holocaust. And this was in the main central square there in front of the big church. Like, this is where kind of like things happen in Dresden, like outside on this central, you know, this square, and where the commemoration would have been. So now everybody wanting to mourn their own, you know, our own ancestors and the death and those horrible things that happened. Now they got to look at these big images. There were, I don't know, probably 15 or 20 of these big banners that took up the whole square, basically, with each one has this big picture of a headshot of a Jew who is, you know, who died. So we're supposed to furthermore feel just guilty about forevermore, like always the Jews who were persecuted, the Jews who were gassed, the Jews this. And this is when, on the location and on the date, of the anniversary date of the, like, probably one of the most evil, you know, massacres of our side, and just completely senseless, like civilian people were targeted, and that was the real Holocaust. So the chutzpah. Now, why do they do this, Eddie? Why are we not allowed to mourn our own death, or the deaths of our ancestors, the deaths of our folk and our kin? And if you do, you're criminalized, and on it goes, right?
Yes. You know, Sister Monica, that reminds me of something you and I both said, especially you. They being a Jew and these evil bastards that worship their father, the devil, they always accuse us of what they do. You know, they accuse us of creating this Holocaust. And I'd like to chime in here just to say a few things to get kind of graphic, because people need to know a little bit of how horrible Dresden was. That demon bastard Churchill, before they started, they being this the wonderful allies, started firebombing Dresden. He said it. He wanted to roast as many Germans as possible. That was his goal. He wanted to roast it because, as you pointed out, Sister Monica, the war was lost. The war had been lost for months. The German people had been pounded. They had been fighting this incredible, this overwhelming odds. They were fighting the whole damn world. They had been every major city in Germany, not just Dresden, had been bombed, had the hell bombed out of it. I hear the music, but I want to make a few graphic pictures for people when we come back, and then we'll go right back to you, Sister Monica. But our people need to know just how damn evil the Allies were that bombed Dresden. Be right back, folks. Short break, 2 minutes.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for holding on. We're going right back. We always say time's money, money's time. We don't have very much of any of it, that's for sure. But I would just like to point out a few things, a few graphic details of what went on in Dresden. Churchill, I think his mother was Jewish. I go out on the limb to say that she was, which makes him a Jew. But he absolutely hated with the satanic hatred the German people, white Christian people. He hated them because he was Jewish. And also the British people were very, very jealous of the Germans, because during the later in the Depression in the 30s, when the rest of the world, the Western world, was just destroyed by a Great Depression, the German people, thanks to Adolf Hitler and some of his people, they were thriving. We don't have time to go in to give you evidence about their cruises they had for their workers. Just common working people were taking vacations and cruises. But here's what Churchill said. He said he wanted to roast as many people as possible. Here's what they did. See, I know Sister Monica knows this. The first wave of the thousands of bombers they used, the Lancaster bombers, the B-17s from America, the first wave they went in and dropped high explosive weapons to destroy as many buildings as possible, to blow brick and mainly lumber and timber, to blow it all to hell, to create a giant pile of kindling. In case you know what kindling is, it's what they use when you have an old-fashioned stove you cook with or you heat with. You start with small pieces of wood first in small diameter to get the large pieces of wood burning. They bombed the hell out of Dresden with the concussion bombs, and they did it on purpose. Churchill even described it. And okay, the second waves, after they bombed the hell out of it and got this wood scattered everywhere, they dropped these fire bombs. I'll make this quick. It's going to keep Sister Monica out too long. The fires got so hot in Dresden. And keep in mind, Dresden was just one city, but Dresden probably was the worst case scenario. The fire got so hot, people, the asphalt in the streets actually melted and ran like volcanoes from the live witnesses. People, men, women, children were caught. Can you imagine being caught in that running asphalt, just like a river, melted? Mothers holding their children have been found, dug up, trying to seal their children, been mummified from the just liquid hot tar in the streets. People got so, they tried to go to the river. Sister Monica mentioned the Elbe. Yeah, I've been told even the river, not only was it soaked with blood and all sorts of human tissue that had been destroyed from the fire bombs and concussion bombs, the river actually got hot. These people were so evil, Sister Monica, I know this from previous shows, broadcasts. The fighter pilots, they even machine gunned the animals in the zoo. The German people in Dresden, thinking they could take refuge in a nice green park where the animals or zoo animals were, they think surely it's these fighter pilots, the sainted allies, were not so evil that they would machine gun giraffes and zebras and things like that. Contraire, my friend, there was an eyewitness account. I think it was a zebra who was running around on three legs, having his legs shot off, and the fighter pilots continuing to finish these zoo animals off, and they bombed and napalmed the hell out of people in the park, helpless civilians. One more point, the Sister Monica was so right. It's totally impossible to know how many people were. Then the Dresden was swollen. It was like a balloon that was blown up and burst. It was so full of air with population. Millions of people were retreating the horrors of the Red Army. They were fleeing the communist bastards from the Red Army, the Soviet Army, because their cruelty is just unspeakable. And they were cruel. These people were fleeing the Red Army. And there was millions of them in the city of Dresden. So it infuriates me to hear these Jew bastards say there was only 20 million of the damn...
Oh, 20,000.
20,000, excuse me, I'm sorry, 20,000. That's a crock. Anyway, I'm going to shut the hell up. But I want people to know, these people were burnt alive in volcano-like liquid asphalt, by God.
True Holocaust. That's what Holocaust means. Burnt offering, burned completely, consumed by fire.
It was a horror, unspeakable horror, Sister Monica. And I know you know that.
Yeah, my mother always said, you know, why Dresden, why Dresden, why Dresden? And just, she just could not understand it, because she said they knew the enemy, the Allies, they knew that Dresden was just full of refugees, women and children stuffed to the hilt with refugees. They knew also that it was not a military target. And she always just, till the end of her life, said, why Dresden? It made her so incredibly sad. I mean, she wasn't anywhere near Dresden when that happened, but everybody knew in Germany. And they knew that the other side knew that the Germans knew that it was just refugees and not a military target. They didn't even try to hide that. And Bomber Harris was proud of it. And then you have modern German women who march with, like, they're so, so mind contaminated with this re-education program that has absolutely made them, you could say, mentally ill, because if you take actions that are actually damaging to yourself and your people, then that is a mental illness. But it's through the toxic lies and generations worth now of toxic lies. But they've painted on their chest, do it again, Bomber Harris. And, you know, on their bare chests and marching around in these parades, like, it's just shockingly sad. And that's Sefton Delmer, exactly what he said with his 1945 words to Professor Grimm, that atrocity propaganda is how we won the war and we are only just beginning now, you know. And I've read that quote a few times on this show, and you know, we will continue with this until there will not be even a good word spoken about the Germans from people abroad, and the Germans themselves will be groveling basically at the feet of the victor and said, how and what can we do for you? Basically licking their feet. And this is where we're at now with much of the German, you know, the Germans have been just brought down to their knees, actually way further down than their knees. They're just groveling. But no more, Eddie. This is changing. This is changing now. Yes. By the moment, by the minute. And Alfred sees, my brother, he sees that very clearly. That, it's just going like a wildfire through Germany now. But you see, they are being so invaded with the invaders and the anti-white war. Now, I was going to bring up something, but we're kind of out of time. Maybe the next time I come on your show, I'll tell you about just a recent happening here in Canada as this war against our people continues, and you are criminalized if you, as a white person, want to hang out with other white folks. And then the Canadian Anti-Hate Network, they put out their spies to see if you're attending a gathering of folks who are also white or of European descendants. And then they will dox you and put it out to the public and say, please help us identify these people that we have taken pictures of from a distance. The pictures are very grainy, but if you can help us identify these people, and then they will cause those people's lives to be ruined. And this is the story that I was going to get into. It's a young woman who was the general manager for the Prince George Symphony Orchestra. And on her own time, last summer, she attended an event. I forgot the name of the organization or the group, but it was just basically a white nationalist event, like white people getting together with other white people, okay? And I've written a letter about this to send it off to, you know, a whole bunch of people, to the board and to politicians and whatnot. And basically, you know, put the shoe on the other foot. If any other group, anybody else was to be, you know, seen associating at an event that was exclusive to their people, that would be celebrated and even paid for, yes, by our tax dollars. And yet if we do it, we are criminalized. And so they let her go. They fired her from this job. And yet, guess what? They had to replace her with, well, I don't know if they're all full-time employees. I guess they're scrambling to replace her. So she wasn't fired for not doing the job well, because they required three people to do the job that she used, yeah, to do on her own. But like I say, they might be just in scramble mode right now, trying to get people to fill her boots, which is difficult. But they got rid of this very competent young white woman who just on her own time went and hung out with other folks who are of our race. Because this is a racial war, what's going on, and
yes,
the war is against our people, Eddie. Of course you know that, but it's yeah, like, yeah, when something like this happens, it's just right in our faces. Like, it can't get any more blatant. Like, you can't hang out with people of your own race if you're white, because if you dare to do that, associate with people of your own race at an event that is exclusively for people of your own race, that's it. You're done. You must be very evil if you're doing that. Whereas we have days and weeks and commemoration events for every other race. Like, what's right now? Right now it's what, Black History Month or something?
Black History Month.
Like a whole month of, oh, we got to learn all about Black history, where, you know, they're starting to mix all kinds of lies into that too. But anyway, I said whoops a moment ago because I thought I got disconnected, but I didn't. And then so that sounded kind of funny, didn't it? But I do hear the music. We're at the end. Thank you so much, Eddie, for having me on. And
thank you so much.
Look forward to the next time.
I forgot to make the big announcement. I have to make a gigantic announcement. The first segment of the second hour, and it has to do with white people getting together to love white people. We're going to have to cancel an event. So we'll make that announcement the second hour. I got so enthralled that first segment, Sister Monica, I forgot to announce it. But people, hang on to your seats. We're going to pick up Don Wassel and Paul Fromm. Thank you so much for coming on, Sister Monica, Sister Braveheart. God bless you, dear. Thank you. We've got to stay in contact.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, dear. Hang on, people. We'll be back in about 4 minutes. Get you some coffee.